Hello, iGaming professionals. This is Stan, your favorite Data Role podcast host. In the second episode, we'll be discussing the very interesting topic of SEO in iGaming. What SEO is, what it's not, how it should be applied to our industry, and what's the role of data in the context of SEO. Our today's guest is Carl Hallam, marketing strategist at Vega, with really huge expertise in this domain. Carl, would you please tell us a few words about yourself as a short introduction?
Hey Stan, thanks for inviting me on today. So I've spent the last, nearly two decades in marketing. I spent probably the last 12, 15 years in director of search positions across small startups all the way to big PLCs. I spent the last 7 years of my career focusing on iGaming and fintech. And I've just joined Vega as one of their directors, helping operators in the iGaming market really start getting profitable growth for their businesses.
Okay, perfect. So moving on to the topic of today's interview. I'm really interested in learning what SEO is and where it sits in the business. Would you tell a few words about that?
Yeah, so without going into a schoolboy lesson, well, SEO is as simple as rankings on organic search. You have two options where we can pay per click or we can rank organically. But, you know, it sits in a quite a healthy balance between paid search and organic because it has a place in demand creation. So most things that you can't do on AdWords, it's inefficient to go, where should I bet? Or how do I bet on this sports betting event? Right, it's very expensive to do that in AdWords. In SEO, you can rank for these keywords and start building awareness for the brand, as well as capturing the demand that's already in the market for people searching for football betting or how to play Starburst or where to play Starburst. And then I think where it sits in an iGaming space is, you know, for a medium-sized operator, and I don't think a lot of people realize that, is, you know, SEO should represent about 30% at least of your NGR contribution from an acquisition place, right? And that's where I think we're working with a lot of people at the moment is changing the perception of profitability, where a lot of CEOs are focused on how do they grow their EBIT. You know, SEO is inherently the first channel you would lean towards.
Although not necessarily fully utilized, as you seem to mention, right?
Yeah, look, the iGaming industry started very heavily on affiliates, right? And why wouldn't it? You have qualified traffic that you only pay when you become a customer. But you look at the UK for instance, you know, if you worked on a 50% lifetime rev share, 3 years later, the CEOs or the COO or the CFO is looking at the numbers going, why am I still paying 50% of my retention of a customer for someone that you brought in 3 years ago? And that was when they moved into performance marketing. You know, we can do it ourselves. We can run our own AdWords. We can do Facebook ads. We can do all this performance marketing. But what's kind of been forgotten about is how did some of these big affiliates actually drive the FTDs in the first place? It was search, right? So why is SEO being left so far behind in the priorities? And I think that's a bigger conversation that you know, a lot of SEOs struggle with in the boardroom.
Okay, I'll gladly return to this topic later on, but I'm thinking, knowing what SEO is, what would you say, what are the most important factors that affect the website ranking for the iGaming industry?
No, I think it fits nicely into the blanket statement. There are three pillars always to SEO, and it doesn't change. You know, it's technical. How good is my website? You know, how easy is it to actually index and for a robot to understand what that is? You know, BetMGM was really exciting. You know, when they released their investor report this year, you know, one of the top 10 reports that they said are the key highlights for last year was a search metrics report saying how fast their website is. The next one is content. You know, we're a content-led industry, right? We have thousands of games, hundreds of thousands of markets, you know, and that's a massive bit. And how do you balance that content with answering a user's query? And then the final one, I think, that a lot of iGaming companies struggle with is the authority bit, right? How do you get Google to trust you? Because not only are you competing with hundreds of other operators in each market, but you're dealing with affiliates, news sites, aggregators of content. You know, how do you compete and how do you make yourself trustworthy? And it's changing that perception in the business of building a brand healthily in, you know, not the traditional link building that a lot of companies have come from, you know, but still inherent in the iGaming industry with this black hat, dangerous link building that is just buying links from expired domains or, you know, link farms and all of this kind of stuff. So I think with the technical side, you know, one of the big problems that a lot of operators have is they're huge sites. They've got a lot of JavaScript in them. There's a lot of dynamic content. You know, most SEOs, you know, when I came to the industry, it was like, oh my God, how do I deal with this? You know, you say JavaScript or dynamic content to an SEO and they go, oh my God, this is exactly what Google doesn't want because it's difficult to index. It's, you know, the content's constantly dynamic. So it doesn't have anything to build longevity and understanding of what that page is about. If the page is constantly one day talking about football odds, but then there's no football and then football's removed, how do you deal with that? You know, you can't build a consistent. So I think that's a lot of operators or SEOs in the iGaming industry really fight with helping the tech work with SEO, right? So, you know, one of the biggest initiatives that I'd recommend any board level to have a conversation with the SEO and the development teams is server-side rendering, right? It's not just, you know, letting Google quickly find and understand a quick way to access and understand the JavaScript, the rendered JavaScript. But it has like UX benefits, right? The page speed is super quick. So it has not just an SEO benefit. So I think that's probably the killer one from technical that I definitely take off people's hit lists.
All right. And so you mentioned the three aspects, the technical one, the speed of the website, content, and authority. And could you please elaborate about this last one or give some examples from your experience?
Yeah, I think, look, there's a, how do I say this without sounding like I'm against the industry or I don't understand what's going on. Look, it's difficult with a lot of SEO, right? You see a value to a link. I need X amount of links. I need to build my authority to that. The natural reaction is, how do I get lots of cheap links then, right? And that just doesn't move the needle. You know, Google just released a massive update this month or a couple of weeks ago that directly penalized a lot of the strategies that's still going on in the iGaming industry. So what we started to do is work a lot closer with the PR teams, right? The one beautiful thing about iGaming is it does come from this sponsorship-led marketing, right? And how do you lead into that? So one of the examples or good examples of authority building is we work with the sponsorship and PR teams to create ambassadors on the fly, right? So we have a load of pre-qualified sports, ex-sports stars that have a lot of clout in the media. And then we go out to journalists and we say, which of these footballers would you be interested in interviewing, right? And then we come back to the brand and we say, right, we've got the Metro, the Daily Mail, the Express really interested in interviewing Jimmy Floyd from, you know, ex-Chelsea player. Are you happy your brand being associated with them? 100%, right? This is really low cost stuff, right? To just get an interview with this guy and say that it was brought to you by Operator X guarantees you links and guarantees you media coverage. So for that example there, we generated 1.6 million coverage online and offline. We generated over 70 links for this client. It was a hugely successful campaign. And that's a big part of our authority building that we do a lot with clients is changing the perception of it's purely SEO, with actually the goal is authority. How do you build the authority, the trustworthiness of your brand? And that's one of the kind of case studies I definitely love bringing to the table.
So now I'm thinking, imagine I'm an operator of an online casino or a sports book, and when would be the right moment for me to invest in SEO?
Okay, look, it depends on the market, right? I think there's two different ways. I think, look, you're a fully regulated operator. You are open to license and licensed to go on any marketing channel you want. Of course, you need the quickest way to bring FTDs, to bring NGR, to create an operating business, right? And SEO isn't that. It takes 3 to 6 months to generate that. So if you're really, you need to build that financial stability and then go, how do we increase profitability? And that's when you go into SEO. But then I could answer that for, you know, look, Curaçao and all of the gray markets, right? That's a fantastic opportunity for SEO because you can't activate, you know, the traditional marketing channels. Paid search isn't available. Meta isn't available. So what do you do? Well, these users will go to search and you can activate that through SEO. Are you directly marketing? No. All you're doing is you're making your site relevant and answering a query to Google. The fact that users are searching, if your brand is willing to accept them users, it's a fantastic way to start. So look, it depends on where you are as a business. You know, operators, when your goal is profitability, you and you're you've proved that you've got FTDs coming out and it's just, how do we get more FTDs and more profitability? That's a business case that we've just done for another operator where we went, okay, you're bringing in 200 to 500,000 NGR through performance marketing, right? How do we replicate that in SEO? And we bought that business case and went, right, within 6 to 12 months, we'll be able to bring in 50% of that. But the difference is when you're talking on a different level, you know, we're saying actually the investment is 10% of what you're putting into performance marketing. And yes, months 1, 2, 3, 4, they're negative ROI. But once you get into month 5, and now you're talking, actually, I'm breaking even. And month 12, now you're talking at estimated projections at 10x profit or ROI. That's where the conversation changes, right? But it's very difficult to say, look, invest confidence when you don't have revenue coming into your business to start that SEO journey at the very beginning of an operator.
All right, that totally makes sense. So if we would be decomposing SEO, what would be the elements that make up SEO in the iGaming?
Do you know what? My mantra, and a lot of people laugh at me when I was doing a lot of client side, is my big pitch in the interview process when I went to BetVictor was my job is to make the SEO team redundant. And it would shock everyone, right? Because what you're saying there is, hang on, we haven't even built an SEO team and you're already talking about making the team redundant. What I believe is SEO is everyone's responsibility. Like I said, the greatest gifts in SEO are technical. Well, you have a website, you have content, right? You've got people that are creating these odds, creating new adding new games to the site. This content is being added. If you spend a lot of time educating and empowering and exciting these different teams that actually by adding this game and just changing the way the content is displayed, this is the revenue you brought to the business. It's a whole new excitement that you bring, right? And everyone is then focused to the North Star of the company, right? The North Star of the company is revenue, right? It's not how many games I add or how fast my site is, it's revenue. So I think that is the biggest pillar for me is that education and in accountability for every department, that SEO is everyone's responsibility. That's how you get it really to scale. And that's how, you know, the last few brands that we're working with, we're talking multi-million pound NGR contribution from SEO. I think the next pillar is strategy. And I think a lot of us do spending time educating people the difference between a strategy and a tactic, right? But actually the investment at the very beginning of understanding where your users are coming from, and you'll probably have all this data from your BI teams, from your performance marketing teams, what keywords are driving the highest conversion rates. And then when you combine that with the BI teams, well, actually when they convert, how much lifetime value are they bringing? Well, actually then you start to put a strategy rather than going, which is the problem with iGaming, right? Everything is a priority. Oh, Cheltenham's tomorrow. Manchester United, West Ham is playing tomorrow. We need to do something, right? You take a step back and you align with data and you go, right, this is where we're going to go. Rather than going after, let's say, online casino as a category, right? That has 10 times as much search volume. Why not go after live casino, live roulette, live baccarat, which maybe has 25% of the search volume? but your profit margins, your LTVs, everything else is a lot healthier. Because as soon as you start bringing the revenue into the table, SEO becomes a completely different level. That's where you unlock budgets for SEO, right? Is as soon as you start going, it's not rankings, it's not traffic, it's not FTDs, revenue that is driven from SEO is this. So strategy is a big thing. And I think that's a difficult one that client side I always had, right? Is telling the guys, look, I know there's a big event. Let's just stop, build a strategy. And it will pay off in the long term. And that kind of leads into the final bit, right? Is understanding the content that you need to serve, right? Because once you've got that keyword insight from your performance marketing teams and your BI teams, is actually how do you answer that query, right? It's not as simple as, you know, the natural reaction, oh, let's create a blog page, let's create a static page, right? But Google doesn't work like that anymore. How many times do you go to Google and it gives you the answer in a frequently asked question? You read it, you go, oh, amazing. Do you click on that? No. Okay. Well, if you try and rank a static page, but Google's only giving direct answers, there's no point. It's never going to rank you. So actually understanding what is the intent behind that search? You know, is it a schema for question and answer? Is it images? Is it news? You know, and that's again where the digital PR, do you need to attack the search intent from a different type of content? And that's basically how I would summarize it.
Okay, great. I have to say this resonates really well with me and all the challenges that we have in the data world as well, starting with the education and what we call the data stewardship. And everybody takes responsibility for the data quality from the very beginning, starting from customer acquisition throughout the whole journey of the customer. That's one thing. And the other temptation that comes pretty often to the picture is, let's create something which is great from an engineering perspective, but not necessarily aligned with what the business needs. So this is actually related to what you mentioned about the strategy and about these, this temptation to respond to real-time events and new stuff that is happening on the next day or another, but taking the step back and thinking, what is the long-term objective? What do we want to achieve and how to support fulfilling those objectives with the right technology and the right data?
I completely agree. You know, I think that's the biggest elephant in the room, right? Is the BI team, for me, is your most important part of the business. It's your engine, right? The I is intelligence. Data, you put that in a marketing person's hand, and I can say that because I'm a marketeer. You put data in my hands, it can be dangerous in front of the wrong person, right? It's no different to a gun. And your BI team is your kind of your catalyst to make sure we're all aligned and we're delivering that ultimate goal. And, you know, Stan, you and I have worked on projects where, you know, companies don't have visibility of actually what SEO contributes, right? How do you understand non-tag traffic? And that's, again, a perfect example of SEO needs to work with the BI teams to understand how data is collected, how it's stored, are there new solutions? And then when the business starts getting visibility of non-tag sources, you know, the BI team sets itself on fire, right? Because it really gets a full picture, you know, not just, oh, I only can understand when it's paid, what it delivered, because that's not how users convert.
Yep, that's right. Now I have another question on my mind. Actually, you mentioned that you have the iGaming experience, but not only. So you've been working on projects outside the iGaming world as well. And then my question would be, how do you see the difference in SEO strategy for iGaming companies versus other industries?
Do you know what? I think it's back in priority. I think it's, I spent a huge part of my career in e-commerce brands, travel, luxury items, Forex, and iGaming for me was a bit weird, right? It was a complete new industry that I'd never experienced before. And I think the alarm bell for me was actually the priority of SEO, the understanding, right? It's traditionally been very focused on, I pay X, I can track the click, and Y comes out the other end, right? It's so, I don't want to attack the industry, but it is short term, right? It's so literal. But customer journeys are way beyond that, right? And we kind of understand that because we do sponsorships, right? You'd never go to the sponsorship team, why are you sponsoring this massive tier one football club? How many FTDs does it bring, right? But when it comes to digital, that context is completely gone. It's, oh, no, only affiliates works. Only performance marketing works. So I would say that's the biggest change for me, is the iGaming industry has a huge opportunity in focus on profitability if they build the awareness of SEO and actually build a business case, right? That's not an attack on the industry. SEOs have to step up and feel that they can. You'll never guarantee results in SEO. You can never, right? But there needs to be a level of accountability that an SEO comes to you with a business case and goes, I have a strategy. I've worked with the BI teams that you trust. This is what I believe we should focus on. And we're going to prove the concept. And in 3 to 6 months, these are the results that we think we can deliver. And once you start unlocking that revenue, that's where the trust happens. That's how you get to, you know, you see some iGaming companies that have a team of 20, 30 SEOs, right? And then you've got another iGaming company that has no SEO department, right? That's where that disparity happened, right? The ones that win SEO can see the multi-million pound NGR that's being driven with huge profits. But until you actually see that actually happen in your business, it's very difficult to invest. So I think that's the biggest thing, is priority and awareness of the importance of organic.
All right. So in the iGaming world, we've got a really diverse audience. How do you actually adjust your content building strategy in order to cater for their needs?
I love this one. So it's KYC, but not how we know it in the iGaming industry, right? It's actually knowing your customer. And, you know, again, the most proudest moments in my career is when we've done massive customer profile analysis, where we actually understand beyond a pen portrait or a market analysis, actually, what is Operator X's high value customer, right? So not, oh, the average age is this and they have this income and they're more males, right? That's non-statements. It doesn't do anything, right? Of course, they heavily skew to more value comes from older people. Of course, it's a more male-dominated industry, but that doesn't add any value. It's actually where the behaviors and the attitudes to marketing kind of transpire. So, you know, one of the... we did quite a big exercise for one brand quite recently where we looked at the not only the demographic data, but their attitudes, their media behavior, how they consume media. So how long they were spending on TV, how long they were spending in the traditional print, online print, social media channels. Because then you might go, well, why is SEO thinking about this? Well, actually, if I know that most of my audience is reading the Daily Mail online, where do you think my digital PR is going to be focused on? And then that value cascades around the business. How do I get value out of that? Well, now the PR teams are really excited because they've suddenly been able to justify why they were doing PR. Because this massive customer audience piece that we worked with the BI team that the company trusts has quantified, this is the newspapers and the media titles that my audience are reading. And it's all the power in data, right? So how long do they spend there? Where do they spend there? What are they looking for, right? Sports customers, when they read news, they're looking for news, opinion pieces, things like that. But casino customer, completely different. They're actually not interested in iGaming. People that are playing slots don't want to read about slots in the evening. That's not how they have fun. They're interested in lifestyle, travel. And how do you build and craft a narrative around that? So some of our most successful campaigns in content are actually creating content that helps the brand talk outside of just gamble, gamble, gamble. So the next piece I'd say is knowing the brand, right? So that kind of leans into what's the brand comfortable about speaking about? You know, beyond tone of voice, you know, that's the biggest blocker for SEO, right? SEO wants to do this and they want to get digital PR. But you're never going to create or let an SEO that's a tech geek, right? Or a pure marketeer with no branding experience, let them create a story to the media. It'll be commercial suicide, right? The marketing team goes, oh, a great way to get links is if we say most of Company X's revenue comes from problem gamblers. Oh, fantastic. You're definitely going to get loads of coverage. You're definitely going to get loads of links, but the business is going to get a fine. And that's not really what you wanted to be positioned against. So I think the next bit you have to understand, and that's the nth degree, right? But how do you understand what the brand wants to talk about? Is it comfortable talking about, you know, the odds that are happening at the Oscars this week, right? Fantastic way to bring a sportsbook brand relevant to lifestyle. So now you're reaching an iGaming or casino customer for a lifestyle topic, which gives you loads of coverage and drives the lifetime value and FTDs where the company makes money. And that's what I mean about understanding what the brand is, where it's comfortable, what it wants to talk about, what are the opportunities available to it. And that's kind of where I would put my pin on the two biggest things for me.
Okay. Great stuff. So now I'm thinking, what would you name are the latest trends and strategies that are particularly effective in iGaming when it comes to SEO?
Latest trends. Look, there's the there's the negative trends that you see. You know, there's still a lot of operators focusing on this kind of black hat link building because it's cost effective. And look, guaranteed, it drives a huge amount of quick results, right? So they see, oh my God, we can get links at £50 a link. And the domain authority is huge. And then the CEO goes, oh, that's exactly what we wanted. Loads of links, good domain authority. And then we see them reporting, oh, look at this growth. We've got 200% year-on-year growth in traffic. We generate these £1 million a month NGR contribution. And then the site gets penalized because Google released an update that said you were doing everything against the guidelines in the first place. How do you justify to the CEO at that point, oh, we did create you a channel that was working for the business, but we were doing it against guidelines and you can't really get it back. And if you do want to, we're probably going to have to invest three times as much for three times as long because you're going to build that trust back up. Like, that's one of the biggest trends that I am seeing at the moment, is a lot of that reality check. The next one I'd say is click-through rate optimization. Like, look, I could be the biggest operator in the UK and go, I don't need higher rankings. My search visibility is 50%, right? Go on, prove you can scale. Well, actually, like, one example that we did recently is we took an operator that was getting, I think it was like 10 million impressions a month in organic search. And we took data from the BI team on the high value products. Then we categorized them pages. Then we took data from the performance marketing channels. So what ad copies were working, what key messages were driving the highest click-through rates. And then we changed the metadata across, I think it was 40% of the site that we prioritized. Project took 6 weeks in terms of insight, analysis, and action. And the following 6 weeks, we delivered 17% more traffic to the brand, not by increasing their rankings, because meta descriptions has nothing to do with rankings, but by leveraging the asset that you have. And I think that's a massive trend that I'm seeing at the moment, is a lot of SEOs are starting to bring more exciting initiatives to the industry. And then the ambassador, I've talked about it before, these kind of on-the-fly interviews allows even the smallest operator that can't afford to have a huge A-list celebrity as an ambassador, or, you know, someone that has a load of clout. Well, what if you took to the business of, I can have an equilibrium of, I can get on 2-3 ambassadors a month to get with us in the news, get us links, and drive us at the end, let's say, an additional 100,000 NGR contribution from this work. But that's quite an exciting narrative for most SEOs, because they've got a seat at the table and a bargaining chip. And that's the opportunity that I said to you before, where we've got case studies where, you know, Jimmy Floyd, the 1.6 million coverage. You know, I'm more than happy to share a deck with you guys on that you can download off our website. Of, it's just a tried and tested model that drives huge amounts of coverage. It's really cost effective. And you're talking tens of thousands on a monthly level, not hundreds of thousands a month or millions in the ambassador. So you can do this at really cost effective levels to prove the concept, even at, you know, $5,000 a month. If you can start generating them results, they're the exciting things that are working in the iGaming industry.
That's a really great answer. Now I'm thinking about another aspect, because you already mentioned that you might get potential restrictions from Google. Now I'm thinking that we're always operating in a certain legal framework, or a lack of a legal framework. But what are the challenges that are in front of SEO planners and people who execute SEO campaigns when it comes to addressing topics such as compliance?
Look, we, you know, with some operators working across multiple jurisdictions, compliance is always a nightmare, right? It's everything you do. If you imagine any meta description that you have live on the site could put you at risk of a regulatory breach or a cap code violation, right? This is why we put all of our iGaming SEO team through the cap code certification. But if you example, you know, the average website in a sports betting website might have 100,000 pages live on the site. When you start separating it on sportsbook and a market level, and then underneath that, the different odds, there's a huge amount of risk there. So actually understanding the nuances between the UK, Spain, just different markets, right? Of what you can and can't say, and where do you put the brand at risk? You know, sponsorship assets, for instance. You know, you can't just go and put your links on Liverpool FC, because you're advertising to a hugely minor appealing website. So these kind of recommendations for getting links from your ambassador, they can't be one size fits all. It's context behind each of the market. And how do you keep the brand safe, right? Because there's no point making lots of revenue if you have a license revoked.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, as a data professional, I have a few very interesting questions. How data supports your day-to-day work in terms of SEO strategy?
Like every marketeer likes to say that they're data-driven, right? It's our bread and butter. But I think, look, there's three things, right? The first thing is the attribution piece, you know, actually understanding what organic channels drive FTDs for the business and what does that mean in revenue. Because that's the first exciting bit, because most companies, or a lot of companies, not most, a lot of companies still do not have visibility of organic channels. And then when you already start showing that the lifetime value of someone that comes from organic is a lot higher than, say, display or non-brand search on PPC, it's the first bit of starting that SEO journey. The next piece is, look, the customer analysis, understanding customer behavior, where are customers having struggles, where are customers dropping off, can we create content around that, right? So there's huge opportunities in understanding the customer journey from a BI point of view. And I think my favorite one is, like I said earlier, is the keyword strategy bit. When you, the first month of starting with a client, when you've put this revenue target and estimated FTDs revenue and FTD forecast for the first 6 months, when you actually deliver the keyword research after the first month, you're looking at 4,000, 5,000, sometimes in some markets it's 10,000 keywords. When you start showing them the data behind that, of this keyword actually drives this much more player value in the first 12 months, and this higher conversion rate, you start inspiring the business to wake up and go, wow, actually, we really do need to get behind it. And it's not a money thing. Like I said, SEO is a responsibility for every stakeholder within the company. And that is the first major thing for data.
Okay. And if you were to name a few metrics that you would say they're the most important when tracking the effectiveness of SEO strategy, what would those be?
Look, blanket statement, again, with marketeers, it's, you know, consistency and strategy, you know. So what my KPI is today needs to be my KPI tomorrow, right? It can't be, oh, we set these goals and then suddenly I'm going to start looking at Ahrefs at the overall search volume, or I'm going to look at Google Search Console this month because the impressions look like they've gone up, right? Because that's where the chaos in SEO starts to happen, and it starts to get removed because you start changing how it's reported in. Look, it's basically the funnel. And again, it's working with the BI teams, making sure that you create a framework that sits in the current, you know, whether it's Tableau or Power BI or anything like that, pushing all the data sources back into the BI team. That is, what's the funnel? I get more rankings. So how are these keywords that I've said of driving FTD performance? Has the average weighted ranking increased? Has it contributed to traffic? Then the conversion rate, right? Understanding when I get that landing page more traffic, did that landing page have a good conversion rate? Because that's another opportunity in SEO. And then, you know, the registration, the KYC, the FTD, the player value. Look, it's ultimately ROI, ROI, ROI. And that's how you're going to get SEO to win.
All clear. Thanks a lot. Carl, one last question, or second to last. What do you think are the most common mistakes that people make in building their SEO strategies in iGaming, and how we could avoid them?
Oh, yeah. That's opinionated, isn't it? But I think, look, you start off with not being aligned with the business. That's one of the biggest problems, right? Everyone in the daily meetings is reporting on how much NGR was brought, how many FTDs, what is the first day payback, right? And then SEO comes in with, well, we can't really do anything for this event because it takes 3 to 6 months, but our traffic was good and our conversion rates were good, right? Instantly, that puts SEO in the back foot because it's talking in a completely different way that every single other channel is reporting on. I think that leads into the second point, right? Which is SEO is a performance marketing channel. You just need a lot of confidence behind it. And that's where the experience comes in. And it's about testing and learning. You know, a lot of SEOs complain that, oh, I've not got enough budget because Operator X has a team of 20 SEOs and they have, you know, 100 grand a month spend on SEO. How can we even compete with that? Well, actually, until you bring a business case to the business that you're willing to put your name under, and look, we all want to be good at what we do. So we should draw a line in the sand and go, look, if you give me X resource, I can deliver Y strategy and it will deliver this. If it happens, fantastic. If it doesn't, look, that's no different to any business case. How many business cases do you see that they go, oh, this was going to set our world on fire by releasing this new offer? And it didn't, right? But until you're willing to commit yourself to the SEO projection, that's where the budget's not going to come. Final one, look, it's vanity metrics all over the place. You know, looking at Ahrefs or external tools that are just there for market analysis to say, oh, my traffic is doing well, rather than actually looking at, as a business point of view, is SEO doing what it's supposed to? If it's not driving revenue, it doesn't matter if you've got more share of voice than anyone else, right? That's not what the business is there. It's not there to get a big brand. It's there to drive revenue. And that's also where you get this inherent problem where you get random people in the business going, oh, you're not number three for live casino today, right? But the average website, if you're optimized well, is ranking for hundreds of thousands of keywords. And you could argue, look, oh, well, live casino gets searched 8,000 times. Well, okay, that's lovely. But actually, people that search live roulette, live blackjack, live baccarat, higher converting, better player values. And it's not about, oh, we've dropped one keyword. Actually, how is our visibility as a whole? How much revenue are all the keywords driving? Because if you looked at one specific thing, it's like looking at a needle in a haystack. It's not strategy. So I think it's the vanity. And that's it. That's my opinion.
Really nice. I've got one last question for today, because personalization is a recurring topic in many different areas. And how does it affect the SEO strategy planning and execution?
So, we talked about this earlier, right? And SEO naturally panics when you say, oh, the content or the main bulk of this content is going to change. Like your homepage will be relevant for football betting today, but then tennis tomorrow and then horse racing the next day, right? And then the content that I've actually written for search engines is completely irrelevant to the actual content that most people are looking at, right? So I think that's where most SEOs panic. So I think it's understanding how do you create better segmentation and take advantage of that personalization, right? When someone bets on West Ham Man United, look, you'll look at the margin you make on basic outright odds, right? If you do win, draw, win, any trader will tell you that the profit margin's not there. The profit margin is in these hyper exotic odds. And that's where the personalization and the segmentation comes in. Can you get users who are looking at over 2.5 goals? Can you get ACCAs, you know, the biggest ACCAs for this weekend? Huge. You're talking huge margins now, right? That's where I think the personalization as an SEO gets exciting, because it really opens it up to a huge amount of search relevance.
Okay, I'm really happy that you're mentioning the topic of segmentation, because this is certainly going to be one of the key areas that we'll be addressing in one of the other episodes as well. But I guess that for today, that would be it for today's episode. So thanks a lot, Carl, for the interview. It was really great to have you with us today. So to sum it all up, we've reviewed the definitions, discussed the role of SEO in iGaming, covered the different trends and key focus areas, and also we discussed what's the role of data in the correct execution of SEO campaigns. That's going to be it for today. So guys, no more bets. This is Stan signing off for now. And remember, keep rolling with the data.